from Camden High School in Camden, New Jersey. This is Capturing Camden.
I am Eric Richardson.
And I am Taisha Mercado.
Camden is the second poorest city in the nation with a reputation for tough streets and crumbling buildings.
But this port town of 85,000 people has a long, proud history, and our school, Camden High, has played an important role educating artistic talents like R&B producers Leon Huff and opera singer Osceola Davis.
And don't forget the athletic prowess of NBA player DeJuan Wagner, now in guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
In this web show, we, students here at Camden High, take a hard look at the environment of our school and city. We study our neighborhood's high asthma rate and abandoned houses.
Also, we talk to teachers and administrators about the problems with keeping students safe in school while promoting a positive learning environment.
And finally, we take a tour of a wild butterfly garden right downtown.
Once a butterfly lands on it, that's the most fascinating thing they can find.
All this and more coming up on Capturing Camden. One of the biggest health issues at Camden High and in our entire school district is lead contamination in the pipes. Our environmental science class recently tested the drinking water at school, and the results have made us all think twice before taking another sip. Junior Ben Stewart explains why he's concerned now.
I hate drinking tap water, knowing it might contain lead. I've been drinking this water my whole life, until this past fall. That's when my environmental science teacher helped us conduct a lead test on the water in our classroom. She explained that the lead pipes in the building were likely contaminating the water and making it unsafe to drink. My teacher said the chemicals can mess with your nerves. We dropped pills into cups of water to determine if they contain lead. I went home and looked up lead in the encyclopedia. Lead poisoning is a serious environmental problem, caused when people ingest or inhale the metal or any of its soluble compounds. It is highly toxic. After lead accumulates in the body, people get sick. Lead may already be affecting our children, causing problems for babies in particular. Because babies' brains are still developing, exposure to lead can ultimately leave a baby mentally retarded. Like many older cities, Camden has an antiquated water system constructed when it was common to use solid lead pipes and joints soldered with lead. Now I realize I shouldn't just turn on my faucet and drink. Instead, my family buys bottled water. 7 people and a baby live in my house, and we spend $15 to $20 a week just on spring water. That's money I'd much rather use to buy a football jersey, a PlayStation game, or a haircut. My family may have the money now to buy spring water, but what if we get behind on bills and can't afford it? In fact, the water in Camden has the highest level of lead in the state of New Jersey. When high levels of lead were detected in the water at some Camden schools last summer, the news certainly didn't come as a surprise to me. A few months earlier, I tried the drinking faucet in my own school, Camden High, and the water came out white. You can't see lead in the drinking water, but obviously, there are other chemicals contaminating the water if it appears white. With 18,000 students, Camden is the largest school district in South Jersey. The district, which can't even afford enough textbooks and computers for students, has no choice but to pay for bottled water. Drinking fountains were shut off at several elementary schools following an August study. The report concluded there were unsafe levels of lead at 21 city schools between 1999 and 2002. Last semester, a half dozen water fountains were turned off at Camden High. I think all of the lead pipes need to be replaced to protect us from the effects of lead poisoning. In fact, schools and homes should be the first place where lead pipes are removed.
With all the news about lead in our school's drinking fountains, we were curious about how much students here knew about the water quality and how much we use in our daily lives. Juniors Robin Shepherd and Rachel Blocker conducted surveys of several 9th and 10th grade homeroom classes. The results might surprise you, as Rachel Blocker explains.
The 12-question survey wasn't meant to be tricky. We quizzed people on some basic trivia like how water is the most common substance on Earth and how 80% of the Earth's surface is covered by water, questions that students aced. Every one of the 26 students who responded knew we need water for our bodies to grow food and to keep clean. But students had more trouble answering why it's important to conserve and protect our water supplies. Students were split on whether water needs to be kept clean for people, plants, or animals instead of all of them. And many teens were surprised by how much water we use every day. Do you know that every time you step into a shower for 5 minutes, you use 25 to 50 gallons of water? Only 19% of the students we asked did. Most guessed the amount was much higher.
35 gallons.
How do you know that?
I don't know. It was just a question on the paper, and I just tried to answer it.
70, 85 gallons? Because I take like 30 minutes or more than that. a lot of gallons is wasted.
12 to 20 gallons? Cuz that's how much I use.
Nearly 75% of the students didn't know how much of the Earth's water is suitable for drinking. 5% of the water is. And though students are well aware of the dangers of contaminated water, especially with some of our school's water fountains shut down by the Board of Education this year because of possible high lead levels, few knew how to find out if the water is safe. Surprisingly, many students thought you could tell water quality just by tasting, smelling, or looking at the water. Only 1/4 of the respondents knew questionable water should be tested first.
Now you can tell by looking at it, because if you see it's clear, that means it's good.
Yeah, if you look at it. But sometimes it can look clear, but something may be wrong with it, like chemicals or stuff is in it.
No, taste and smell doesn't matter.
What? How can you tell if water is good then?
When it's tested.
Our survey showed us that water education is important both for our physical health and environmental conservation. Students could use less water if they know simple tips like putting something heavy in toilet tanks to lower the amount of water used for every flush. If teens know how much water they use for basic things and how important a resource it is for our survival, young people can play an important part in conservation. And with water quality an important issue in our own school, education is essential to making sure we are safe. I'm Rachel Blocker reporting.
30 years ago, there were no fish in Cooper River Park. Now the river is cleaner than it has been in decades. Camden High School student reporter Lakeisha Thompson says things are better now due to positive change around the river.
Years ago, Camden County's Cooper River was filthy and all of the fish and animals in the park began to disappear. Why? Because until the mid-80s, all of the towns along the Cooper River don't treat it and partly treat it sewage into the river. That changed in 1986 when the Camden County Municipal Utilities Authority opened. Andrew Crooken is the assistant director of the regional sewage plant.
Before the Camden County MUA was created, every town had its own little treatment plant, and they discharged into the nearest creek nearby. So, for example, you know, there's 37 towns in Camden County. Some towns have had even more than one plant. So there was approximately 52 plants, as I recall, and there were 52 of these little discharges, but right into the smallest streams. A small stream has less capacity to handle a waste load than a large river.
The result on the local waterways? The coliform count was very high, and you would get sick if you went into the water or ate the fish. Mr. Crooken says 40% of the river's flow used to be made up of sewage.
What regionalization did was eliminate every single one of those mini plants and gather up all the flow into one plant, one large plant, and then site it on the Delaware River, which is the largest stream in the vicinity. So what happens is, by eliminating those discharges, it gives the river a chance to clean itself up.
If you go to the park today, you see much has changed for the better. Park activities include fishing, boating, and picnicking. There is now a suitable playground, barbecues, and much more. The Cooper River provides the people in Pensauken and the Camden area with a beautiful place to come and enjoy themselves. It is great to see that the fish and wildlife are back into the park where they belong. Now all we have to do to keep them here is to provide them with environmental protection. To help the fish swim upstream to spawn, fish ladders have been installed in the river. Dave Orleans, the park naturalist for Camden County Parks, describes some of the fish found in the Cooper River.
You find a lot of carp, probably catfish. People have caught sunfish of various kinds there.
More aquatic life has returned to the river, like frogs and toads. The animals make the park along the river more fun, healthy, and interesting. The park has to stay well-maintained in order for the animals to survive. But is it safe to eat fish from the Cooper River? Mr. Erlingen says there are still reasons for concern.
For many years, there was a lot of sewage not being treated well and getting into the stream, and a lot of it settling at the bottom. So as a result, the health department has periodically put advisories to let people know that, you know, you can't eat some fish or you can't eat above a certain quantity in a given amount of time because of the known levels of, you know, certain kinds of metals.
Since the water sewage treatment system was built, the amount of pollution in the river went down. But Mr. Orlean says there are still problems. The biggest is non-point pollution because it's hard to control and because it's pollution caused by people.
There's pesticide residues and a variety of things that probably are contributed by cars, by houses, by lawn care sometimes.
Because of all these reasons, Mr. Orleans advises against eating fish caught in the Cooper River, especially near the bottom of the waterway where the sediments collect.
If you're fishing for sport, that's one thing. But if you're fishing for subsistence to eat the fish, then there's a real concern. There aren't a lot, but I guess there are some that may find it a cheap way to make their catfish dinner. And they're not always that safe.
But by comparison, the Cooper River is much healthier than it was a few decades ago. With help, the fish have returned to the river. The park surrounding the Cooper River is also cleaner, making a safer environment for both people and wildlife. I'm Lakeisha Thompson.
More African Americans and certain Hispanic populations have asthma than other Americans, and the disease is more severe in urban inner cities. Camden is no exception. Junior Edith Irizarry says she thinks factories in her neighborhood are a big reason why her family has breathing problems.
Where I live, the air pollution is very bad. That's because I live near a factory. The factory releases a lot of black smoke and in the process sends out a foul smell. The dirty air can harm anyone, especially those who already have problems breathing. Because my mother has asthma, the pollution is a big problem for my family. Serious air pollution can cause my mother to have an asthma attack. My father has a slight breathing problem because he is an older person. Struggling for breath places a strain on his heart. My family and I should not live in such an environment. Air pollution may harm you in ways so slow that the effect may not yet have been detected. Carbon monoxide, for example, drives out the oxygen in our blood and causes fatigue and headaches. To clean the air in my neighborhood, I will knock down this factory and build it somewhere else, somewhere far away from people and their homes. The factory should be built on land already damaged, like a sanitary landfill or somewhere out in the open. If I can have it built there, I would not allow it to be built at all because the pollution can destroy your lungs. My name is Edith Irizarry.
Safety on school campuses has taken on new meaning since the Columbine shooting killed 15 students in 1999. Like schools around the country, administrators at our school have taken steps to protect students. Two gun incidents here in school this year have made security even tighter. As a result, Miles Davis reports the challenge is how to promote a strong learning environment when students and staff safety becomes a major concern.
Camden High has all the problems you would expect at any urban high school. On any given day, nearly 20% of the student body skip class. Only 30% of the ninth graders graduate. A shoestring budget means staff must find creative ways to meet basic school needs. At Camden High, that means even the school's principal gets out on her walkie-talkie and does a daily patrol.
Come on back, honey. Did you hear the assistant principal tell you that was not permissible?
Principal Betty Herring's handle is boss lady. She and other staff stand outside at the end of the day to help parents and students feel like they are actively working for student safety. A former biology teacher, Herring is now the person ultimately responsible for security at Camden High. But Herring adds students need to do their part.
One of the largest challenges that we face in trying to make a safe environment for the students at Camden High School is making sure that students follow procedures and rules.
For Herring, that means most of the 58 exits are locked. Camden City Police and 18 security guards patrol the halls. The school locks most of the lavatories, and after a 10th grade girl threatens another student in a hallway with a loaded gun last March, the Board of Education brought in long-awaited metal detectors.
Let's go, people. Try to have your book bags off, have them open. You can come across, young lady.
People coming into school now line up to go through the airport-style metal detectors. Students and staff say things have improved, but they aren't popular with everybody. 12th grader Nadir Foster says the detectors are overkill.
I've been safe without the security, you know what I mean? I'm always safe. I think the machines downstairs are irrelevant because nobody will bring a gun in school. Right now, they wouldn't.
But a few weeks after the new system went up, a man from outside got in and threatened a student with a gun. No one was hurt. In May, a large fight sent three students to a local emergency room. Many students and staff say it's not just the building that needs to be kept secure, but also classrooms. Carol Christian is a global studies teacher.
There's stragglers out in the hallway, and they continuously open the doors to your classroom and just waltz through, get done their business, and then they leave, but it's still a disruption. I would probably do something about it on the higher level where the students are punished first time around, no grace periods. A no tolerance would be a no tolerance for real policy.
Keeping a building as large as Camden High secure is not easy. Sam Miller is the head of security. A major problem, Miller says, is the high number of students who skip class. Another is how to deal with troubled students who take separate classes in the afternoon.
First of all, we have to understand that responsibility of going to the class technically is the student's responsibility. They should know that it's their future that they're working on, and going to class is paramount to them, not to us. And secondary, security's job details for being protective of the student, the faculty, the destruction of school property. That is the function of security officers, not to determine whether or not a kid goes to class.
Teachers say one of the biggest problems is how to show students that a get tough policy also includes their academic performance. Curtis Bell is the school's music teacher and band director. He says while students need to take responsibility for their own actions, others need to know that they will be punished if they don't follow rules.
I think our students really don't get the concept of what it means to be a student sometimes. We have some individuals here who at all costs decide to do the wrong thing all day long. So, you know, we just need to find a way to hold our students accountable for this misbehavior.
But for now, some students say what little money and staff the school has is being focused on school safety. 11th grader Carola Lugo says while things have improved since metal detectors were put in, the bad behavior has not stopped and is affecting her learning.
I will definitely separate the students that really want to work and want to do things from the students that don't want to do it, that are doing really bad in school and they interfere in class and with your work.
School administrators have hope for some key changes next year. Students will have to scan IDs into a computer database when entering the building, a move some hope will help cut truancy. Principal Herring also wants to ask school boards for students to wear uniforms. The goal, Herring says, is to promote discipline and make students take pride in themselves and their learning environment. I'm Miles Davis reporting.
A big environmental problem in our neighborhood are abandoned homes and buildings. Camden has thousands of empty weed-filled homes, so many it seems like the city can't even keep up with them. Imagine having a couple of these homes on your block. Senior Rebecca Centron says the buildings near her are so dangerous they are a health and environmental hazard.
I live in the part of Camden known as South Camden. Across the street from my home is an abandoned house, one of dozens in my part of town. It has been unoccupied for the past 8 years. About 4 years ago, the house caught on fire, but the fire wasn't merciful enough to burn the house down. The flames left the house charred, doors gone, and a huge hole in the roof. And there it still stands, making the rest of the houses on my block look dirty. Now that house is a health hazard, jeopardizing the safety of the people in the neighborhood. There are times where I'm sitting on my steps and I see rats from the abandoned house running across the street. The yard next to the house is full of trash and weeds. The filth is attracting all kinds of bugs like ticks and roaches. These bugs wander and become a menace to the surrounding houses. When I was younger, the house was a drug house. There were always a lot of people walking in and out. One day the police raided the house and everyone inside the house got arrested, including the owner. And after the house caught fire, nobody could live there. Unfortunately, this is not the only abandoned house in Camden. There are hundreds of abandoned houses in my city. Sometimes people leave because they can't afford it anymore. Or like the house on my block, the owner gets arrested and the city never does anything about the property. Whatever the reason, the city of Camden needs to do something about the house. Officials could just knock down the house and build another in its place. If not, the city should demolish it and just leave it as an empty lot, cleaned and safe. Or they should put the property up for sale. Maybe someone will want to buy it and fix it up. But a solution has to be found fast. The city needs to take action before something bad happens. The house could catch fire again and someone could get hurt this time. Or some of the neighborhood kids could be playing inside and pieces of the house could fall on them. I personally think that there are so many abandoned houses in Camden because the city is lazy. If more people spoke out, maybe something could get done. But sometimes I feel like I'm the only one who cares.
If you drive a car, then you definitely know about potholes. In our town, the holes in the asphalt get so big. There are times of the year when the street seems like an obstacle course. But for Junior, Dion Street, fixing the roads create an even bigger problem.
Seems like everybody has a good pothole story, but I don't think everybody's been to my neighborhood in Camden, New Jersey. On August 11th, the city started to redo the streets near my house. They dug up the road and put down a new blacktop to cover up the potholes. Crews started digging in the middle of my street, moving their huge equipment from one end of the block to the other. City workers took dirt from other streets and made a big pile of it on my block. If anybody tried to drive anywhere nearby, dirt got everywhere, on the parked cars and all over the clothes of anybody brave enough to actually try walking down the streets. The dirt was still there a few weeks later when the rain started. Everything got real messy with all the mud. We couldn't walk anywhere without getting our shoes filthy. September 1st, we were told everything would be done. But instead, in early September, the crew came back digging in the streets again, dirt flying everywhere. Imagine trying to drive here. Sometimes I eat or drink in the car, and by the time I get to my destination, my clothes are covered with spills. I'm sure you can't go down any street in Camden without having to navigate potholes. They mess up your cars and the wheels. It just makes me so damn mad because I would like to enjoy my ride and relax, not bounce up and down in the car seat. But the city had finally come to fix the potholes in my street. I was really looking forward to riding down a nice, smooth road. But then in October, just when I thought the work was done, crews came out again, this time to put new pipes down. And when they started digging up the streets again, they left a big mess. When they finished, they covered it up with nothing but dirt. Things weren't back to normal until the middle of October. It's just a shame. It shouldn't take the city 3 months to fix some potholes and lay down some pipes. Camden is suffering because the city promises to fix things, but then takes forever to do it. That's why we're the poorest city and people don't want to live here when they come to visit their families. I don't think any person has a worse pothole story than I do.
Four years ago, the Children's Garden opened in Camden next to the New Jersey State Aquarium. Since then, the park has drawn thousands of visitors to see its exhibits. Camden High Junior Natalie Rodriguez reports.
The Children's Garden is operated by the Camden City Garden Club, a nonprofit organization based here in Camden. The club helps city residents tackle gardening in abandoned and polluted city blocks. Jennifer Dykes is the park's special events coordinator.
For a lot of people, it has turned out to be a way to take a lot that is maybe right now subject to some bad activity like some drugs or some, you know, dumping, and make it a nicer space for the whole neighborhood. And a lot of residents find that when they start this individually on their own, their neighbors will start to get involved. So it's sort of a way to bring community members together as well.
But the club founder wanted to create a larger park where residents could see new kinds of plants and entertain children. So in 1999, the club opened the Camden Children's Garden. The Garden Club wanted to have Camden in the name because the founders say the park is very much linked with the identity of the local people who planned, raised money, and built it. One rainy day, we visited the Children's Garden and met with Michael Devlin, the executive director of the Camden Children's Garden and Camden City Garden Club.
Well, we had been doing the community gardening and Grow Lab program for a couple of years. We found, you know, in the school, growing vegetables and flowers, children could learn science and math concepts, so you could see that they were attracted. Gardening is also a major business for a lot of people, especially in this region.
At the Children's Garden, there are several exhibits. The Butterfly House is really special. When I first walked into the Butterfly House, it was so hot, I had to take off my coat. There were many beautiful butterflies flying free inside the large greenhouse. The house has many tropical flowers for the butterflies to pollinate. There I met Carlos Yobero, an expert who calls himself the Butterfly Man. The former drug addict says the children's garden gave him a new lease on life. While I was talking to Carlos, a butterfly landed on me.
Once a butterfly lands on him, that's the most fascinating thing they find about a butterfly, okay? Because it's a rarity that happens out in the wild. The reason why it happens in here is because butterflies let you get real close to them because they have no fear of predators. This is a protected environment, okay? Out in the wild, you would never be able to get this close to a butterfly. Okay, so once a butterfly lands on a child, they just get excited and they start jumping up and down and running around and big smile on their face.
The Children's Garden also provides jobs and opportunities for the young people of Camden. For many teens, this is their first job experience. The employees that work at the Children's Garden do a variety of jobs. They do anything from gardening outside to operating rides, working in the gift shops or in the office, or teaching arts and crafts to children. Hundreds of thousands of people visit the garden every year. Mr. Devlin says the park depends on ticket fees, grants, and the hard work of its volunteers and staff.
Gardening does take a lot of time, a lot of commitment. It's 7 days a week. My wife Valerie and I are Camden residents. She was born and raised in Camden, still lives here. We come here every day of the week, work. There's like no time for vacations anymore or even working in our own garden. But it's been fun, and for the most part, it's been rewarding.
The Children's Garden is a positive influence in the Camden community because it is a fun place for children to come. They can also learn horticulture, science, and math. Teenagers go there to work and can learn basic workplace skills in a safe environment.
That's our show. Capturing Camden was reported and produced by students of Ms. Gracelyn Johnson's Camden High Environmental Science classes. Senior John Jackson is our technical editor.
Gwen Schaefer and Mari Saito are show advisors. The program is made possible with the help from Living on Earth, National Public Radio's environmental show.
I am Taisha Mercado.
And I am Eric Richardson. From all of us at Capturing Camden, thanks for listening.